Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go. Cause when I look to the sky, something tells me you're here with me. And you make everything all right.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and I'm joined by our regular hosts for the gathering, Tom and Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg. And welcome, everybody.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
And tonight's topic, before we get into some of the announcements, is going to be simply, what's next? What now?
Keep changing. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who cares?
What we're going to be talking about actually is, now that we've amassed all this information and all this evidence, what do we do with it? How do we integrate this into our daily lives? Should we? What are the ramifications and the benefits from it? Are there any negatives to it? And so we're going to get into all that. Tonight's show is sponsored by L&R Productions. You can find them on the web at lnrproductions.com. And Fran is chomping at the bit to tell you about some of the announcements.
Oh, I'm always chomping at the bit. I don't know about these announcements, though. Our usual reminder, please, 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 now that the holidays are coming, when you're doing your shopping, shop on Amazon. But first, go to the Forever Family Foundation link to Amazon on our site and click on that for whatever you're going to shop on or search for on Amazon. And just the act of using that makes Amazon send us a donation. And, of course, a portion of what you spend comes back to support us. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, you can always sign up with iGive.com. Name Forever Family Foundation as your charity of your choice. And then when you shop on iGive.com, which is kind of this online mall with all kinds of stores that you're accustomed to seeing, like Land's End and, Sears, they're all on there. When you go shopping, a portion, again, of your spending comes back to us. And then we'd also like for you, while you're on the Forever Family Foundation website, to apply for the Visa credit card. And Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out. And then when you go shopping on Amazon and iGive and you use that card, we get even more money donated to us. And that's how we support our programs and all the things that we like to do for free. Because even though you're getting it for free, we still have expenses incurred in getting it to you for free. So please, when you go shopping, remember us and use our links. We have our Holidays Past raffle, another way you can support us. It's $5 a chance, 5 chances for $20. If you visit the website, you can see all the other combinations because you can buy 200, 300 tickets if you like. And I would advise that because very few tickets have been sold so far. Only 205 tickets have been sold. So your chances of winning one or more of those 5 mediumship readings by our certified mediums is very, 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 very good. Our annual conference, Is There Chocolate in the Afterlife? We've announced that it was full. We've managed to come up with 5 more seats. So the office will be in operation. You could call 631-425-7707, of course, after the show, and or any other day. And if you want one of those seats, they're going to go to the first takers, and we'd love to fill them up now that we have those extra seats.
Just to be sure people know, we did take it off the website quite a while ago.
Right. At the beginning,
so if you go on the website, you won't see it. But these just opened up. So first come, first serve. I know.
And you have to call the office.
You have to call the office at 631-425-7707 so we can get those seats.
Right. And just so everybody knows, it's at the Sheraton Long Island Hotel in Hauppauge, New York. It features Dr. Lee Bauman, Lloyd Auerbach, Long Island's medium from the TLC Long Island Medium, Teresa Caputo, and our own host of Mediums and Messages on Signs of Life Radio, psychic medium Angelina Diana. Our Holidays Past event with an evening of spirit communication conducted by Forever Family Foundation certified mediums is in four locations this year. December 3rd, Joanne Gerber will be in Bethel, Connecticut. Also on December 3rd, Janet Nohavik will be in Pompton Lakes, New Jersey. December 10th, we have Angelina Diana in Natick, Massachusetts, with afterlife advocate Dave Kane. And on December 17th, Teresa Caputo in Melville, New York, is sold out. So if you want any of those other seats, they're $25 a seat, $30 for members, $35 for non-members. So reserve now. These things fill up quickly, as you can imagine. And if you're a business interested in advertising on our show, contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707.
All right, but before we get into tonight's topic and before we go to the break, I just wanted to get your take on the articles that have come out this week about from the family members of Steve Jobs. If you had, I don't know if you got a chance to read it, but I believe it was his sister was telling the press that, of course, the whole family was at Steve's bedside as he was passing, and his last words uttered, he looked just past the family and said, "Oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow." That was pretty interesting. I know my feelings on it.
He was a very spiritual guy. I have a quote here from him. "Creating great things instead of making money, putting things back into the stream of history and of human consciousness as much as I could."
Mm. Well, I mean, it really I mean, it sure sounds like a classic example of people having a deathbed vision. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of other explanations. They could have seen something, but why would he repeat it three times? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, what do you think, Tom?
Well, certainly sounds like what we've been talking about, actually is comforting because obviously on the brink of death's door, he found something to be amazed with.
Yeah, and I think that's the point. And that was mentioned in the article. I mean, that gave comfort and hope to the family. You know, and maybe that's part of the process. And we can only speculate. I mean, I believe that he was remarking about the people that were surrounding him from the other side. You know, so
that was the three oh wows were kind of like, "Oh, you're here. Oh, you're here. Oh, hey, here's you."
Right, and here's a guy that had such an imagination and such creativeness. He literally changed the world. So it takes a lot to get three oh wows out of somebody like him, wouldn't you think?
Not only that, maybe he was seeing the future of what his creations were going to bring forth way down the road. Oh, wow.
That's true.
Maybe we should have called tonight's topic "Oh, wow."
Yeah, well, he could have also been going through a life review and then watching that reel of stuff that's going through. So maybe there'll be more to come, with that story. But I think it was very intriguing to read about it, and I was excited to read about it, actually.
Yeah, it was cool. I have another oh wow, if you want.
Yeah,
I thought we were living Stacy Krigsman in junior year of college.
Yeah. Oh, wow. We're going to go to our break, and when we come back, we're going to dive into our topic of what now?
Oh, wow.
Stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio, and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Thank you. Suzanne Goode, an award-winning certified professional and master photographer, is the owner of Goode Photography, a studio located in Long Island, New York for 25 years. She has devoted herself to creating timeless portraits and virtual paintings that capture the essence of a person in one single moment, forever lasting. She can use your photograph of a loved one or pet and transform it into a watercolor or canvas painting. You can view her work and email on her website, www.goodphotography.com.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Back. Thanks for staying with us. This is The Gathering, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation on Signs of Life. Our topic tonight is simply, what now? I think Tom mentioned it once we were doing on the show, and, you know, so we've learned about all these things. We've learned about things like near-death experiences and out-of-bodies and deathbed visions and mediumship and, you know, on and on and on. So where does it fit into the big picture? What do we do with it? How does it affect our daily lives? And I don't know, I guess a good place to start would be what does this information mean to people that are in grief? I know Fran and I were having a conversation, I think, this morning.
Morning.
And I was saying, we were remarking about all the people that come out, seem to come out with books, you know, after they suffer the loss of a loved one, and a book about their loved one. And these, a lot of these people remark how, you know, they didn't believe in an afterlife, you know, before, and now they're on a major mission. So, you know, why is it that trauma is such a trigger to a belief? You know, is it, you know, somebody might look at that from a distance and say, well, that's just, you know, because people are, they need something to give them hope, so this is wishful thinking. But, you know, a lot of these people also, they never studied any of the stuff that we're looking into. They don't know about the evidence. They just, you know, have this belief. It's only afterwards that they start to go and look for the evidence. So I guess the first question is, how can you know, a belief that we're more than our physical bodies affect somebody that's grieving? Anybody, you know, have any thoughts on that?
Well, it's exactly what you said. It's healing.
Yeah.
It's healing, and that's simply it. But the question is, how do you get that information out to the public so that people will more readily accept it rather than battling it? I mean, we see it all the time where you have couples who have lost someone, a parent, a child, or whatever, And one reacts one way and one reacts exactly the other way, and that's almost always the case. And it becomes this struggle where one's trying to convince the other that their way is the right way. And it's quite interesting. But if the evidence were out there and people had it at their fingertips as something that is a possibility and it's not just your grief, then I think you'd have a lot more people moving through their grief when it strikes them, because it doesn't come planned. It happens.
So you think that people would be better prepared to handle life events if they had some background in both from a scientific and from a spiritual point of view?
I think for Tom and I, both having lost a parent last year, I think our belief was enormous. I mean, it just got us through everything. We were almost excited for the crossings, even though one we didn't really know was coming. We knew it was what the individual wanted.
Mm.
And so I think we were able to be tuned in to the whole crossing over, and we were both looking for signs, you know, to be carried along, given a little glimpse of the other side. We were tuned in to were previously departed loved ones spoken about, or were there any visions or odd comments? So I think it definitely was a lifesaver for us. Plus, can I say the word enhanced the experience? That's a weird way to put it, but...
No, we know what you mean.
But yeah, it was, you know, at his mom's moments before passing that we were excited for her. We weren't grief-stricken. We were excited for her.
See, but here's exactly the thing that we were talking about this morning. She's worried about using the word enhanced because that's a positive word,
right,
and death is a negative word. We've
right.
got to take the negative out of death,
right,
and then everything flows, because it really is an enhancement.
Right.
It really is.
Especially in light of the Steve Jobs
right.
story.
He
had a positive
right.
experience with it.
And don't we want everybody to have a positive experience with death?
Yeah, I think, I didn't want to make it too simple, but yeah, I think for the person going, it's positive. It's the whole losing that person, and that's another word, it should be thrown out of the vocabulary, because they're not lost, they're right here, but the physical loss, that you can't hug them, you can't call them on the phone, you know, you can't just interact.
Well, let me pose this to you. If we were a culture that for many years accepted death and worked with death as a more positive thing, may we not at this point have discovered some sort of way to hug them and communicate with them instead of fighting it?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think about the last scene in Star Wars, of course, when they're sitting around the fire, and then Obi-Wan comes back, and you know, Anakin Skywalker comes back, and they see him, you know, and they wave and that sort of thing. I mean, you still don't get the hug, but yeah, it does. And then what Melissa was talking about, losing, you know, we lost parents last year, and I lost it was my mother, and my father had passed 7 years earlier, and I could see it in my mom that for the first year or so that she just had nothing basically to live for.
Right.
And we took her to a night of mediums, and strictly on that one reading that she got sitting around a table, she woke up the next day with a whole new lease on life. And she has had subsequent readings. In fact, her birthday was September 20th, and which was about 3 weeks before she actually passed away. And for her birthday, we had a final reading for her, in which my father came through and said that he was planning a party and getting his dancing moves ready and all that sort of thing. And then during the next week. A lot of soul-searching talks with my mom, and at one point she kind of looked up at me and she says, "You know, I feel a little guilty about this, but I'm actually kind of excited." and that sentence alone says everything about what we're doing, what we're studying, what we're believing in, and finding out is that, yeah, it is something to be excited about.
Yeah, and I think that, I know we were talking about Steve Jobs earlier, and I was reading an earlier interview with him where the interviewer asked him if he believed in an afterlife, and he was he was sort of on the fence. He was like 50-50. He says it makes sense to me. I mean, I just don't see, how we could have all of this, knowledge and emotion and love, just disappear, in the blink of an eye. It makes sense to me that we continue in some form. And he ended by saying, well, maybe our consciousness survives. So, he definitely was having those thoughts. But I think along with all the stuff that we look into, a lot of people battle with meaning and purpose. I mean, is there meaning? I've heard it said, I'm sure you have, a lot of people say, well, look, if the dead can communicate with us, why don't they make themselves available all the time? Why is it so difficult? And why? And then others will say, well, because it's we're meant to have this division of some sorts, between this. I mean, a lot of people say that our purpose here in life is to gain more empathy, more compassion, more love for others. So I guess I could throw this out to you. If that is our purpose, and for instance, if I see somebody that's suffering through an illness, I mean, obviously I have a lot of empathy for them and my heart goes out to them. But if I knew that they will just go through another door, and they're still going to be around, maybe the empathy I have would wane. I wouldn't have as much compassion and as much love as I would because of that knowledge. So the question is, does the knowledge of an afterlife, could that affect you in a what we would call a negative way?
Wait a minute, but you just said,
yeah,
if the existence is all about love and compassion,
right?
Does the love and compassion have to be motivated by somebody that you have empathy for? Why can't you just have love and compassion just for the sake of having love and compassion, whether they're passing or they're not passing?
Yeah, well, I guess if they're intertwined, aren't they? Empathy is, it could be, you can have empathy with nature, I mean, but you're thinking that...
Right, but you were talking about because they were getting ready to cross over and...
Right, just maybe it was a poor example, but...
Maybe it's a good example because now we're talking about that.
Right.
That it's not just love and compassion for people who so obviously need it, but love and compassion for everybody all the time.
Well, what do you think of the reasons, though, that, we know that communication takes place. So why do you think that we don't have access to people in these other dimensions on a regular basis?
Well, I was waiting for Fran to jump in because you crossed on one of her points when you said that, if there is communication, why aren't they around more?
Right.
And the answer is they're around all the time. And why are we not getting the communications? Because we in our human solipsistic minds are with blinders on are saying, well, if you're not going to sit there and materialize and talk to me in English, then you're not communicating. When they're saying, didn't you see the feather float by you? Didn't you see the bird doing something unusual? Didn't you see the numbers on the license plate? Didn't you see all of this, the rainbow? And they're communicating all the time, and we're looking for something else.
And how about the people? And we get calls in the office all the time, How come I don't hear from my loved one? And then they'll rattle off a whole bunch of things. Well, there was a message on my answering machine. They left dimes in the driveway, and every place I go, there's this, there's that, there's the other thing. I said, well, you just told me 20 different signs that you got. Yeah, but they're not communicating with me. Like, how much do you want? Mm-hmm. And I really think that their ability to communicate has something to do with the different enlightenments that we share or don't share with them. That, the way the mediums talk when they have to communicate, they have to, and I hate the word, raise their vibration,
yeah,
and spirit has to lower their vibration so that they can meet. And I think on some level, that concept is what's going on, that there has to be some sort of meshing that takes place for that communication to take place. And maybe less of it needs to be working when they can leave a dime or send an A-port or do something like that. They don't need that kind of a mesh to take place.
And you are listening to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. If you'd like to join in, the number here is 1-888-627-6008. You know, sometimes I think that of the universe giving like a big wink or a smile, it's as if we were, this physical existence was designed as an experiment, and maybe our purpose, our sole purpose on Earth here is to gain more insight into meeting these other dimensions. You know, maybe it's no coincidence today that so many people are having near-death experiences. You know, maybe the universe is giving us more and more. You know, maybe it's a tease. They're giving us more and more access points, and it does seem that as the physical world today is a little bit more receptive to it than they were, you know, in years past. We're finding more and more intuitive people, more intuitive children. We're finding more people having these dream visits and these deathbed visions, and sometimes it's I don't want to call it an evolutionary process, but it's maybe something's going on. We were all gaining. The universe is allowing us to get a little bit closer to our true purpose. And when that happens, and we recognize our true purpose, and we recognize that we're all interconnected, and we recognize that, you know, that life is a continuum, then all of a sudden, you know, a big light's going to go on in the universe, and things
very are bright.
Well, they say this is the dawning of the age of awareness, and that's exactly what you're describing. And I think you're right. I think that there, you know, which I think is the topic for our next show, the whole story of the 2012 and all that sort of thing is part of that. I don't know if I firmly believe that we're on a calendar and it's going to happen on a particular day that all of a sudden we're going to be enlightened, but I think evolution's a good word for it, that we are evolving into beings that can communicate for ourselves.
Right. And it's a complicated question, too, because I certainly recognize if we had all of this intuitive ability to gain access to all these different worlds, you know, how would we live our physical lives? How many places can we be at once? You know, so we may have purposely have a filter, you know, in our brains to interpret all this information. Do you want to take a call, Fran?
Yeah, let's take a call. We have Kathy on line one from Albany.
Hello, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
All right. How you doing? Welcome to Signs of Life.
Good. And I hope it's appropriate. I just I went through tremendous experience with relatives dying, and I don't hear it talked about a lot, but I kind of wanted to, even though I'm probably embarrassing myself, but I wanted to call and mention to anyone who might be listening how much jealousy and rivalry between the heirs and siblings can hurt, can be detrimental to those trying to pass on. So I don't know if you addressed that much, but I'm over it now, but I experienced a lot of that. I was one who tried to take care of a loved one, and then it just seemed like that there can be a lot of jealousy, and it's not just my personal quest. I've talked to a lot of legal people, and I guess with the bad economy, that there's a tremendous amount of people that look to dying people to leave them material gifts, and it causes so many rifts. And I just wondered if you ever come across that, or if that's anything that you address, or if that's on your radar screen. I was shocked as to how what a huge thing it was.
Well, we certainly recognize that we live in a very materialistic society, and people are driven by their egos, you know, and not by their spirit and soul. You know, but that's been going on, you know, through the century. I know that sort of a little glimmer in Tom's eye because, you know, I don't know if it's for publication, but I think he had a similar experience, and many of us, you know, have. And you never think that, you know, when it comes to losing or the death of a loved one, that that's ever going to happen. But, boy, you're not alone.
That you mentioned? I'm sorry.
Well, that would be me. Yeah, I understand what you're talking about totally. And
yeah,
it does happen.
Yeah. It just seems like it's a huge, huge. I know for me, I just gave up my life savings and devoted myself, but I couldn't believe the materialism of all my siblings, and I just couldn't believe people. You know, when people are on their deathbed, rather than comforting the loved one, they're worrying about, you know, if there's any money. And I just would like to reach out. I'm probably preaching to the choir. I'm not reaching the right people, but I just think it must hurt the dying so much to see that. I believe they watch all that, and I think it must hurt them.
Well, I've experienced readings with mediums where the loved one from the other side does indeed talk about wringing their hands and trying to deal with family dynamic and things like that, and yeah, it's definitely a concern. I don't know if I'd use the word hurt necessarily, but I do know what you mean. And yeah, that our loved ones who care about us all getting along as a family care about it before and after passing.
Kathy, this is Bob. I wanted to mention, don't you think that our loved ones, when they pass on, they have a different perspective on things? You know, I mean, it was hurtful to your loved one, you know, as he or she passed, but now that she's in a different world, can look at this physical existence with greater meaning. So I don't think it's hurtful to them any longer, because they realize that in essence, you know, we're all, you know, learning certain things, and we'll have some growth on the other side. So I think it's just an attachment in this physical world, but not necessarily in a spirit world.
Well,
I approach it too a different.
Yeah.
You know, and thinking more in the terms of when you're past and you become pure energy, then what becomes important to you is positive energy or negative energy, that you can feed off of positive energy, as Bob mentioned before. The, you know, love makes the world go round, and love is what everybody will feed off of in the universe. And
right.
So when your loved one looks back and says, well, you know, there's a lot of negative energy happening in our family, you know, you really want to get away from that. You want to turn that negative energy into positive energy somehow. And, you know, we use it in terms of, well, let's get along and, you know, let's not fight and things like that. But it's really an energy thing.
Gotcha.
Well,
I just want
to add one thing, because I think maybe I'm looking at some Kathy's point of view. The person who's getting ready to cross over is really straddling two worlds.
Yeah.
And while they're being drawn to all the positive of the other side, they're being held back by the people in the room and that negative energy and that stuff. Like, do I stay here and help solve the problem, or can I go to my own peace and be selfish about that and go to the other side? So they are really hindering a crossing over, I think.
That's a great point. In fact, many, many, many readings that I've witnessed also talk about that, in the sense that usually there's someone close by who tells the person who's about to pass that it's okay to go. Your time is done. We've loved having you here, and but your time is now, and it's okay to let go. And that means an awful lot to them, and they even come back in a reading and said, you know, you were the one who told me it was okay to go. Thank you so much for that. And that is right at the crux of your point, that they are being held back because they think that they have more work to do when they see that things aren't smooth for them. And I think you're right about that. So it is important if you in a position where you're with a loved one who is getting ready to pass, that to let them know that their future is ahead of them in another realm, and it's okay to go there.
Well, Kathy, thanks so much for calling.
Thank you. I'll keep listening. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Would you like to take another call?
Okay. Let's take another call.
Before we go to a break, let's take Joe from Toronto. He's on line 3.
Hello, Joe.
Good evening. How are you guys doing?
Good. And you?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
I just had a question that maybe could be answered. So I'll give you a bit of background information. So sporadically through my life, I'm currently in my mid-30s, but sporadically through my life, I've had messages from the other side of friends, loved ones who have passed, who give me messages through dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Over the past 6 months, I've had an amplification of experiences that have happened with messages from the other side. Only this time, I'm not sleeping. I'm awake. And it starts off as sort of voices. It sounds like it's thoughts going through my head. And then over the past 6 months, I've began to listen to these voices in my head, which sounds like my thoughts. And I started writing them down because they didn't have any meaning to me. But then once I passed them on to my friends or my friends, then these messages hold meaning. So I've passed on many messages which don't hold any meaning to me, but hold meaning to the recipients from their loved ones. But the only problem is that I'm having trouble controlling these messages that I'm getting. So I get them at inopportune times. It could be in the middle of the night, most often in the middle of the night, which produces lack of sleep for me and my fiance. And I just need to know, what do I have to do to sort of control this gift, I guess, that I have?
Well, you know, certainly we're not qualified to answer that. However, we do have many, many people that report similar experiences to you. And
yeah.
A couple of comments is that it sounds like, you know, you're a budding medium. I mean, it didn't necessarily happen to you as a child, as with many people, but, you know,
yeah.
It happened to you a little bit later in life.
Yeah.
But these also, you've had the chance to realize that these things are not paranormal, and it doesn't mean that you're emotionally imbalanced, and it doesn't mean that there's something wrong. It's just the way that it is, and for some reason you're a conduit for this information. One of the things that the mediums tell us, the trained mediums, is that they tell us similar stories to you, but that through development, they learn to turn it on and off. Don't, you know, some are more successful at it than others. I mean, they talk to their spirit guides, they talk to spirit, they say, you know, that they set ground rules, so to speak, and they're able to do it, and it doesn't affect their personal lives and to any great extent. Of course, there are always you have a persistent spirit, they're going to get through. But I would recommend that you contact a good reputable medium. That a lot of the good mediums offer development courses. You can even check the certified medium list on our own website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org and get a little help.
Okay.
I mean, it's very, I can empathize that it must be very difficult to sort of be bombarded with all these things all at once, and you need to learn how to control it, but certainly you'll be able to at some point.
Yeah, part of the, one of the things that I got from hearing mediums saying, giving your exact same story is that is when they don't fight it, but you've got it. They know that you can communicate, and they want to get messages through to you, their loved ones, so they're going to come to you. But they also are smart enough to know that if they bother you, that you're going to shut them off, and the message isn't going to get through. So it's a give and take that, as Bob said, if you communicate back to these spirits, saying, look, I understand, I'm willing to help, but you've got to help me too. So let's do this and basically work out a schedule, if you will, and say, okay, maybe through meditation or that, where you're telling your spirits, okay, now I'm ready, what do you want to tell me? And then when you're done, say, okay, we're done, I'll come back another time, but this is it for now. And again, as Bob mentioned, we are not the experts. We're just giving you layman's what we've seen. Excellent advice from Bob is find a medium in your area who has been working at it for a while, and I'm sure that their stories of how it came to them are very similar, and they can help you out.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and by the way, Joe, one other thought is that, you know, the way that you were handling the information is exactly, you know, the way that scientists look at it. You know, you didn't interpret the information. You just got the information, and it didn't mean anything to you, but you reported it, and then it turned out to be evidential to others. So that shows that you are connecting. So we wish you the best of luck.
A lot of shocking moments sometimes for me.
Yeah, I can imagine. I hope that you find some way of controlling it and have some peace and look at it as a tremendous gift.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling, Joe.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care. Have a good evening.
You too.
We're a little late for a break, but we can go to a break.
Take a quick one.
And take a quick break, and we come back. We'll continue this discussion of what now? So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. L&R Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio, and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.lndrproductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Is there chocolate in the afterlife? Don't miss the 5th Annual Forever Family Foundations Conference on Saturday, November 12th at the Sheraton Long Island Hotel in New York. This all-day conference features presentations by medical doctor Lee Bounum, offering scientific evidence of an afterlife, and paranormal evidence by noted parapsychologist Lloyd Auerbach. A full sit-down luncheon will be highlighted by a formal chocolate tasting, and guests will be treated to two sessions of spirit communication conducted by certified mediums Angelina Diana and Teresa Caputo. Call 631-425-7707. Again, that's 631-425-7707, or visit www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages.
Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And welcome back to The Gathering, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation on Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. We've been talking about all these different things we've learned about and how we integrate that into our lives. You know, what comes after this? We have the information, and you know, how does it affect our lives? I guess, do you think that people who believe in an afterlife in general live more productive lives? Or you think they're more compassionate to other people? Does one go hand in hand? You do?
Yeah, I think definitely. In fact, I mean, personally, even since I've been going down this path and finding things and finding evidence and that sort of thing, it has done wonders for me personally in being a calmer person. I mean, 20 years ago, I was characterized as a hothead. I lost my temper easily. I still remember the day that I was on the phone and I had a musician coming out from the city and it was going to cost me a couple hundred bucks and I had just gotten a phone call from the studio that there was a power outage and they wanted to cancel it, and I still had to pay this guy, and I just slammed my hand against the wall and it was a nail sticking out of it.
Oh!
So, you know, I don't get
anything. It's called a life lesson.
Yes. And, you know, thanks to the teachings of Eckhart Tolle and many like that, I am doing everything I can to release that anger. I don't find myself getting angry, or as if I find myself in the human, being human and getting angry, I step back and observe it instead of letting it envelop me. So that from that point alone, and also that really, you know, another thing was John Mellencamp, on one of his first albums when he was still John Cougar, the title was Nothing Matters and What If It Did. And, you know, I kind of have that philosophy in life because, you know, really nothing that happens on this earth is really going to, derail our eternal soul. I mean, obviously, there are things we talked about before. We can foster love and positive energy so that we go down a better path when we get out off of this planet. But ultimately, you know, it's don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah, it's very it's very difficult for people, you know, as they go through their daily grind, you know, with work and family and everything, to, you know, intellectually, or I could say, you know, even in our hearts, you know, that we know that we go, like, I believe that there's an afterlife, and I believe that certain people are better prepared for the afterlife, and the way we conduct our lives, I think, affects our existence in the afterlife, but yet, when there's a panic at work, and you know, or I get, you know, I'm, you know, and plus the fact, and you know, because of life's experiences, you know, sometimes I could step back from a kind of a dangerous situation and say, okay, wait a second, you know, I know the big picture, I know how life can change in an instant. So, what does this mean? Next week, this is all bull crap. This isn't going to mean anything. But yet, you get caught. I still get caught up in those moments.
Oh, definitely.
You know, it's very, very hard. But I think that, you know, we were talking a little bit also before about, you know, possibly things are changing. And maybe we're getting a little bit closer to the answers. And I know Fran was mentioning the fact that we get a tremendous number, we continue to get a tremendous number of emails and calls about things that are really not in our realm of study. And people are, like the last caller, Joe, they're talking about these experiences. More and more people are having experiences. You know, so how do you integrate these experiences into a daily life? Now, Joe's case might be a little extreme because he's getting a tremendous amount of information, but for most people, it's very subtle. But more people are recognizing these subtle things, and
well, it started out with him. If you listen to his story, it started out as a subtle expression from spirit. So, wouldn't you then conclude that all of these people who are starting out with the very subtle expression are also going through the same sort of shift, where it's coming upon you slowly, and then maybe it is our job, because our mission statement is to educate the public about survival of consciousness. Maybe if we can reach out on a grander scale to more and more people, more and more people would be aware about it, we'd be able to at least guide them. Here, every single person thinks they're all alone. Joe doesn't know that we get 400 or 500 calls a week, and there are people just like him out there with the same problem. And, you know, they all have to learn how to cope. They all have to find ways. And the ones that are that are successful mediums today all went through that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a good point, is that it sort of gives you a feeling of, as you say, being alone or being isolated, or nobody's going through this, and people would be amazed, you know.
Right, because the real answer is nobody's talking about it. Plenty of people are going through it. Nobody's talking about it.
Yeah, and the people that are talking about it are saying that, you know, you should have medication.
Right.
Right. You know? Right, and a lot of people will get that, you know, if they bring it up in mixed company, there's a percentage of that company that's going to say, you're nuts, and, you know, and close the door on you right there.
Right.
And nobody, of course, wants to go through that. And I think, as we mentioned at the beginning of the program, there's more acceptance, there's more knowledge out in the public and that sort of thing, so that it's not as cut and dry. I mean, 30 years ago, you might be locked up for suggesting that you hear voices, but so it's not as bad, and it is getting better. But again, you know, as you say, for Joe, it doesn't matter what the public thinks. It's what he has to live with every day when he wakes up, and there they are, and it's come on, you know, already.
And even with him, when he's trying to sleep,
yeah,
not even. I mean, there's not a time of day that he could look forward to.
Right.
There is
hope for Joe, though.
Yeah, there is. There are many people that describe to us that they go through periods in life, you know, where they are troubled, you know, by this. They look at it more as a curse than a gift.
Yeah.
But that they later on embrace it, accept it, and thrive with it, you know. So there is definitely hope. I mean, for the average person, you know, that gets these subtle things, you know, for instance, you know, dream visits. You know, some people have these dream visits, and they attribute it to it's just a dream, you know. But then, when they go, people tell us when they embrace it and they welcome it, more and more come, you know. And maybe from that, you know, then they get into other things. Maybe they get into meditation, you know, and then all of a sudden they started to see different signs and things. So maybe it's a different kind of a state of mind, you know, that when you're open to it, you know, more things, you allow more things to flow through. But I certainly, I'm really, you know, sold on the idea right now that there's something happening, you know, that there are more and more people that are getting more glimpses through the veil than there were in past times, you know. Can't back that up by any facts, but just by the the number of things that you read, the number of calls you get, the number of emails, the stories, the research.
Got to get them talking. Got to get them talking to each other.
Yeah. Well, isn't that what the web is for?
I think that, but you don't, that's the problem with the web. You could put something out there and you don't know who's going to read it and what kind of a response you're going to get. At least when you walk into a group of like-minded people, you know you can share.
Yeah. Chat rooms.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, just that first, like when you get a phone call, you know, from somebody down in a very, very conservative religious area, you know, of the country, and they're whispering on the phone because, you know, if heaven forbid somebody overhear them, you know, it's like they're living in the dark ages. They're going to get, you know, they're going to get shunned and with a scarlet letter. You know, we haven't progressed very far in a lot of areas when it comes to this kind of intuitive ability. That's for sure.
That's true. But you'd be surprised. Again, my mom talked to her after she had that wonderful reading the first time. She was so excited, and she wanted to tell her friends. And she was very involved in the church group. And, of course, when you go into a church and start talking about this, you think, you know, I better be careful. But she was so excited that she sort of said, you know, I had a visit from my husband, and then no sooner did she say that than the other ladies, yeah, me too, and me too.
You see?
Yeah. Like the floodgates were open.
So it is the block. It's the societal blocks that have to
get
be overcome.
and a hush fell over the crowd.
Well,
going 7 and wounding 2.
I'm worried about this shift. If the shift is...
Watch your language.
What is all this shift?
well, those... not everybody is going to... I don't want to say jump on the bandwagon, but become a believer. So what will happen to them? Will they just be carried along too, or what's going to happen to the others that don't believe and don't buy into?
You mean what's going to happen after they cross over?
Well, or? When the shift and
we keep talking about the shift.
Right.
The shift is coming.
Well,
and
I think
then
it'll
we're
be
all getting enlightened.
It'll be common knowledge.
It just spreads.
Yeah. It's
collective consciousness.
The same people who follow blindly by doctrine and dogma are the same people who are going to follow blindly and say, oh, this is okay, now this is this.
Melissa, don't worry, we will not leave you behind.
That's right.
Or maybe you will not leave us behind.
So I've enjoyed this show, What Now?, and I'm looking forward to our next show, Now What?
Now I followed by Oh Wow, Oh Wow, Oh Wow.
And with that, we've got to wind things up. I'd like to say our usual healing energy circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Vicki Steffi, Judith Lockman, Wendy Lippo, Kathy Ward, and Francis Mastracco. And now, my last for the Gulf. Now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures in Mexico Gulf by praying like this. To the waters, whales, dolphins, pelican fishes, shellfishes, planktons, coral, algae, and all creatures in our Gulf of Mexico, I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. Masuro Moto, back on May 9th, 2010.
And with that, it's time to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.